I wanted to share with you initially a Gemara, which I feel I saw this vault a previous year, and perhaps I did share it, perhaps not, I don't remember, but I think it's particularly relevant this year, gentlemen. With an insight of a Moshe Motcha Kap de Mishmeres Hamoyadim, he says the following. The Gemara says in Yevamos, and the truth of that is we're going to be talking those halachas shortly. We know that Amru Shnei Masa Elef Zugim Talmidim. Rebbe Kiva had famously 24,000 Talmidim, 12,000 pairs of Talmidim. Megvas Ad Antipas, from Gvas Ad Antipas, from the various extremes in Eretz Yisrael. The Kulon Meisu Beperek Echot. And they all died at the same period of time. It was a plague. They died. Unbelievable. Mipnei, why did they die? Mipnei Shaloi Nagu Kovet Zelezeh, because they didn't respect one another. Which is a discussion on its own. I don't want to focus on that now. V'oyah Olam Shomeim, and the world was like a desert. It was Shomeim, it was desolate. Is that the word, desolate? There was nothing left. They were the Torah of the next generation. These were the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. No less. They were the ones. Al Shabor Rabbi Akiva, and after those 24,000 Talmidim, they died. Imagine how many Levayas this was every day. Imagine how many, it must have been incredible. Make a cheshbon, 24,000 divided in such a short amount of time. I mean, it must have been unheard of. And they all died. And it wasn't just random people. Those were the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Those were the next generation's leaders. Until he picked up, Rabbi Akiva picked up five Talmidim. Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yossi, Reb Shimon, which we know is Reb Shimon Bar Chai, Reb Elazar ben Shemua, five. And they were the ones who taught the Torah. Oysa Shah at that point. And they all died between Pesach and Atzeres. Between Pesach and Shavuos, although it's not all the Pesach and Shavuos, it means with 33 days within that period. They all died from a strange and untimely death. Right, that's the Gemara. Now, it's an incredible piece of Gemara, and I think it's so much more. I think it's so timely and so relevant. But what I want to point out at this stage is something that Moshe Motcha Kap points out in his Sefer as an introduction. He brings out a little footnote. He says that, but I think it's an amazing point. He says, imagine Rebbe Akiva. This was Rebbe Akiva who had established his life's dream, the greatest achievement ever. He had established, despite his background, but never mind that, but he'd established the greatest yeshiva on earth. He had established 24,000 prominent, prestigious, good Talmidim. To a good stuff. They were top quality. They all died. Not because of his own punishment. Nope. Rather because their own punishment. Leonardo covered Zebazer. And here was Rebbe Akiva that in a short period like this lost everything that a person can lose. Everything. His whole life's achievement. His yeshiva. His Talmidim, his everything had gone from one day to the next. Everything disappeared, vanished, gone down the drain. How would we react? How would we look like after such an undescribable disappointment, such a tragedy, after such unbelievable setback? We would be disappointment, would be devastated, some would fall into clinical depressions, cholila. But what did Rebbe Akiva do? Rebbe Akiva picked up the pieces, very literally, five. Now imagine, from 24,000 down to five. And he started from scratch. And you know what? The greatest of all this is that he did it. He managed to get up and teach 5 instead of 24,000. Everything was shattered. Everything had collapsed. Everything disappeared. He picked up 5 Talmidim and he started teaching them. Unbelievable. It's incredible if we think about this. And the greatest chiddush of this all is that these 5 Talmidim are the ones who ultimately, or the Tanoim, that our Shas is based on them. It's our Torah is based on those 5 Talmidim. Which is incredible. But the point being that how does a person react to tragedy, Cholila? How does a person react to setbacks? How does a person react to disappointments? We all have disappointments. We all have difficult. How does a person react? Is he going to that mode? Is he able to pick up and start from scratch? And this old tkufa, which is such a challenging tkufa for so many of us, in so many different ways. But what the Bekir is teaching us, that he started from where it was. He didn't look back and said, oh, look what I had. Look what I built. Look what I've established. No. He just managed to move on from there. From the 5 Talmidim. And that's where the Torah that we have nowadays comes from. I think it's mind-boggling. Just wanted to share that with you. Right. We're learning tonight. It's also brilliant. We're learning Hilchas Sfiras HaOimer tonight. Simon Tov Pei Tes. So, whilst, of course, we have not forgotten, there is a bit more to pick up and catch up from previous. But I want to do Simon Tov Pei Tes and go to, there's also Simon Tov Tzadik Gimel, which is the halachas of mourning and all that. So I want to get to that. So literally complete the chelek, and then we're going to go back, because it's just so timely, so relevant. So we're going to continue now a little bit more. So fine, Simon Tov Pei Tes. We started already, but I want to just start from the beginning because there's more points we need to cover. So, Belil Sheni Achat Filas Arvis, Maschil Lisper Oimer on the second night of Ma'ariv, we count to Oimer. Second night of Shavuot, we count to Oimer. Right, so that's the mitzvah of counting the Oimer. I will quickly just interrupt here, go straight away into 2 bi'alochas, which speak about essential points. We have spoken already about the timing of Sfiras HaOimer in terms of, is it before Aleinu or after Aleinu, which is an interesting discussion. We saw the Mishnah Berurah says you should say before Aleinu, but we did hear that in Shtibel. What did you say that in Shtibel we do it in Nusach Sfat, but was it after Aleinu? Is that correct? Yeah. So, right. Right. Now, I want to point out, there is a very interesting bialocha, which is going to be relevant at other stages as well. I'm going to mention that now. The bialocha brings, in the Bramas Chalispa Oima, which is the second bialocha on Simon Tov Pei Tes, I'm just going to go the first few lines. Lispa Oima, hine das Rambam ve'achinuch, shunoig min ha-Torah gam atot. This is the opinion of the chinuch, and the Rambam, the Chinuch always goes with the Rambam, that it's a Torah obligation, which basically raises the question, is Sfiras HaOimer d'oraisa or not? Now, of course, we know the Pasuk says, Sfatim lachem, Melachos HaShabbos, that the Pasuk does say we should count to Oimer. However, that seems to be only in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, is it just in the times of the Beis HaMikdash where the Oimer was literally brought? Is it connected directly with the Oimer? Or is it not? Is the counting of the Oimer a separate mitzvah d'oraisa? That is the Machlokes Rishonim. There is a minority opinion which holds that even nowadays, Sfiras HaOimer is d'oraisa. Which basically means, according to the Rambam and the Chinuch and others, that whenever you're counting the Oimer, you're actually fulfilling a mitzvah zaseh d'oraisa. Whether it's one large mitzvah or a separate mitzvah divided into 49, it's a separate question. But certainly there is a mitzvah d'oraisa according to those minority opinions. Many others, the majority holds that it's only the Rabbanon. But it does make a bit of a difference. Because as the Bialocha points out later, he says, "Hachin das haTuva Shulchan Aruch v'kama poiskim she'enu bizman hazeh lo zeich lamikdash shekir v'oimer." However, the opinion of the Tur of the Shulchan Aruch and other Rishonim, Hachonim, is that it's only mit Rabbanon. V'chein sugis haPoiskim b'siman zeh. That's what it seems to be the consensus in our siman over here. Then he says, "Achena beemes Rambam gam kenav yechidoi bedaito." The Rambam is not a single opinion; he's not standing on his own. Shkam das Rabbi Yishai kenub, or the Rabbi Yishai also holds like that. One of the Yishonim. Veshibud aleket chen das Rabbeinu Binyamin. So he brings a list, all list of Yishonim, and then he does say that I'm skipping quite a lot of lines. I'm going right to the end, and then he says, "Lefize yishad godol minogenu," and he says this explains our universal minig. He says, if we go according to those Rishonim, the minority opinion, but it's not just the Rambam as he says, if we go according to those minority opinion who holds that it's the Raisa, then we've got a pshat and an explanation why we are careful to count the Oima only after nightfall. Because if it's only the Rabbonon, then surely it makes sense to count early, as we're going to see later. You can really count already long before Nacht. You can really count long before Nacht. You could count. So he says, if it's the Rabbonon, it would make sense to be lenient and count earlier than Nacht. However, if it's the Raisa, then you're going to go with Safek Deraisa Lechumra. You're going to go with other rules that are going to be established rules that are going to make it that we should really be careful to count only after nightfall. And it's the same as our minig is that we only count after nightfall universally. Globally, internationally, people generally count the Oima after Nacht. That's what people do. I only saw in one place, I believe, that was counted. But generally, it's not done. You don't count with the Bracha before Nacht. Is that makes sense that this minig is based on the understanding of the Reise. If it's the Reise, you're going to wait for Nacht, whatever your Nacht may be. So he says, it could be that our minig is assuming that we are machmir, that it's going with those opinions. That's what I found also in the Eli Rabba. Because we said the Eli Rabba also brings such an understanding. So I think it's interesting to note that whilst we are going to see later that Shulchan Aruch paskens, it's the Rabbonon, and that is really the accepted halacha, and that is really the way we generally look at Sfiras Ha'oimah. However, the Bialocha opines that our minik that we count after Nacht is probably based on the understanding that we go with the Derais opinion. It's really important because he means that even for us nowadays, there is a bit of a Derais element in the Sfiras Ha'oimah. I think it changes the perspective a little bit. This is a Derais element in the Ha'oimah. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two, there is a very important bialoch over here, which we're going to look at the Shulchan Aruch now just to get that clear. So Shulchan Aruch says, "V'mshorach lispo b'tchilas alaylo, hoylech b'soifah kal alaylo." If a person fails to count at the beginning of the night, hoylech b'soifah kal alaylo, you can continue counting the rest of the night. So whilst, of course, a person should count at the beginning of the night, but if you fail to count the beginning of the night, you could also count the entire night, and that's with the bracha. And as we know, you can also count the subsequent day, you can count without the bracha. You can do that as well. Now, I want to focus on the next few words for this at this stage. O mitzvah, al kol echot, lispo le'atzmoy. And it's a mitzvah upon everybody to count himself. What does that mean? It's a mitzvah on everybody to count himself. What does that mean? So the Bialocha says the Mishnah Berurah says Zivkot Nei. We're going to keep Zivkot and Gimel and Dalet for a bit later. We're going to get to that, but I want to just see Zivkot Nei first. Lispoil Atzmoi Tachsiv Sfatem Lochem. It says Sfatem Lochem. You should count for yourself. What does that mean? You count for yourselves. Obviously, you're not going to count for somebody else. You obviously count for yourself. Pardon?
Does that include women?
Oh, we're going to get to women. I want to get to women. That's it. Cotton Gimel. I want to get to women. But leave this out for now. We're going to get to women. So he says, "The chesivus fatem lochem, mashmen da mitzvah chal kol yochid v'yochid." There is an implication. He says, "Fatem lochem, you should count for yourself. Everybody should count for himself." V'ine mashmen mizeh to besfir einu k'moshah mitzvah toli b'amira. He said that it could mean that it's different than the other mitzvahs, which is normally performed by speaking. For instance, in Kiddush v'Avdolah v'Chayotze b'Zeh, when it comes to Kiddush and Avdolah, Teim Shama lechaveiroi v'nischa v'lotzeis to Yotze b'Zeh mishum shemea ka'oine. We know generally there's a rule of shemea ka'oine. If you listen to somebody being motzi you, then it's ka'oine as if you actually said it yourself. Shemea ka'oine. You don't have to say Kiddush yourself. You can hear somebody saying Kiddush on your behalf, and you're Yotze. You don't have to do Abdullah yourself. You're perfectly Yotze by somebody saying Abdullah for you. That works. So, it could be that Hocha Gilsa Torah, the Torah over here, is revealing to Lo Yotze Kol Kama to Lo Yisofa Ba'asim. Here it's different. Usfatim Lachem. You've got to count yourself. You've got to count yourself. You must count physically, verbally, orally, yourself, as opposed to somebody being moitzi you. That's why the post says, Fatem Lochem, you must count yourself. However, a beautiful machloik as this is, Avolyesh Machonim Shikosfu, others disagree with this understanding. The Kamonas of Teurak to Loinema said that the meaning of Svatim Lochem means something totally different. To Loinema, the mitzvah zu are based in the Vatkoi. I would have thought perhaps that the based in can be counting for everybody. Like the Arm mitzvahs that the based in does for the entire community. The pasuk is telling us, no, you can't have the beis din counting for you. You've got to have everybody counting for himself. But that doesn't mean to exclude shemea ka'oine. Could still be that somebody counts for somebody else. So it's not unlike other mitzvahs. It is like all the other mitzvahs that you can do shemea ka'oine. The reason why it says svatem lochem is not to exclude shemea ka'oine, but it's excluding the beis din, that it's the beis din's mitzvah only. K'mo b'shmitin v'yoyvlois t'chsev shemo svatem locha elokoy atzibu. So that's what he says. So the Bialoch goes into greater detail about this, and he says that he goes into discussion of whether Shemei Ka'ine would work or not. So I just want to bring that. So it remains a machloikas. It actually remains a machloikas. What does Fatim Lochem actually come to teach me? First, Fatim Lochem teach me that you must actually count yourself, and you can't have somebody being moitz you. Or is he referring to Svatim Lochem that actually know the beis din cannot count for you, but you have to count yourselves, whichever way that may be. It could be through Shemei Ka'oine, it could not be Shemei Ka'oine, but it's not really referring, it's not addressing this point at all. Either way, what's important to understand as well, as the Mishnah Berurah adds later, it's the bottom of the last few words. V'chol ze b'sfira, this entire question is with regards to actual counting. V'chol ze b'sfira. Ha'avol b'vrocha sh'mevachin ala sfira. But when it comes to the brocha, kule alma ef shalotzeis ala dechaveru avilu boki. V'kmoi b'chol ha'brochas. This is completely, this discussion that we discuss now, that is only referring to the actual counting. Hayoim shloish yomim lo'oima. Hayoim chamish yomim lo'oima. Can you be moitzi somebody else by the counting, the actual counting, which is the mitzvah, but not the bracha. The bracha certainly, according to all opinions, you can have somebody else saying the bracha for you. That for sure works, and that is and that's what the Mishnah says. Whichever way you go with, even if you say svatim lochem means like the first understanding, it's excluding shema ka'oneh. That's only with regards to actual mitzvah, which is the counting. But the bracha for sure you can have somebody else being motzi you the counting. Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah. In some shuls, they do the Omer sort of Zippor after Maariv. And I don't know if the rabbi does it or what. Does that mean he's Yotze himself at that point?
The Rav.
After we do it again. I have been in some shuls, and they after, I can't remember if it's before or after Leilu, but the Rav or the Zippor
do
the Omer before it's Nacht. So
before it's Nacht?
Before it's Nacht. Does that mean the person who's saying it, has he fulfilled his mitzvah, or does he have to repeat it?
No, so he has fulfilled the mitzvah. We're going to learn later that the earliest time to count is quite early. So yes, he has fulfilled the mitzvah. Perhaps it's worthwhile, I would probably advise to this individual, to later say, but when it's certainly Nacht, he should say it again without the bracha, just to make sure. He certainly is Yotze the mitzvah. The question raised earlier about women. What's generally the minhag? I'm just curious to know. Does your wives, your daughter, do they count? What's the general minhag? They count, they try to count, they count the first few days.
They try to count.
They try to count.
Yeah. As long as they can.
As long as they can.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I remember to remind them, they can.
Good. Okay, so the question is on you then. How do you remind them? Okay, very good. So yeah, okay. So the Mishnah Berurah over here goes into a fascinating discussion. Says the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Gimel. Maschin lispa v'noshim v'avodim pturim mitzvazu. So women and slaves, women are exempt from counting. Why? Like the general well-established rule that a mitzvah sasei shazman gromo, that it's a time-bound mitzvah, and as we know, the time-bound mitzvahs, women are exempt. Now, why is it time-bound, by the way?
Between Pesach and Shavuot.
Probably that. Yeah, it probably is that. Pasuk says
it has to be counted after.
Yes, so it is time bound. No, so it probably is referring to your first point that you said. That is, it is time bound because it's only between Pesach and Shavuos, and it is time bound. Now, Kosem Magen Avraham, however, says, so okay, it's true, it's time bound. However, Kosem Magen Avraham, Miukva Shavio Leu Choivot, and Magen Avraham says that yes, in principle at this time, but women have made it into their own obligation. They've made it into their own private, personal chumah that they like to count. They like to count that they've made it into their own Islam. V'chem medume, says the Mishnah Berurah, it appears to me, says the Heilige Chofetz Chaim in Radin, says that I understand the Magen Avraham's wife used to count, but in our country, says the Chofetz Chaim in Radin, our wives, says the Chofetz Chaim, we don't count. In our countries, we don't count. I also saw, says the Chofetz Chaim, if they do count, they shouldn't make a bracha. They'll certainly make a mistake. They won't be able to make it, to put it through till Shavuos. Additionally, you do not know the counting of, they don't exactly understand what's going on, and they might make mistakes, and therefore the Mishnah. So again, just to get this clear, theoretically it's certainly time bound and women are exempt. Magen Avraham says it's true, but they've made it into their own chumrah. Chofetz Chaim says, in our countries, the Magen Avraham is chumrah is not accepted, women don't count, and I've got a good reason for that as well. They're going to forget. Now, this is clearly a minhag question, and I will not refrain from saying that some women are very, very good at remembering, perhaps even better than their husbands, and therefore it's true to say that I think that many women do like the Magen Avraham, that they continue count have taken a chun himself. I will not refrain from saying this is just in honor of my father-in-law. My shver tells me from his mother. I never met my shver's mother. She was nifta before I joined the family. But he tells me, you know, the Yekas are women, they're very good with counting. They wouldn't forget. They do it very. So he tells me that my shver's mother, she used to have in a pillow, she used to put a pin during the Omer, that if she would, when she would go to sleep, she would have that, it would prick her just as a reminder to count the Omer. So that would, to make sure that she wouldn't forget. So it's true, and I saw also in the Minhagim, various Minhagim Sforim, that the Yekas used to have that minhag that used to be very makbid on counting. But it is true to say at the same time that the Mishnah Berurah says that women are likely to forget. So one should certainly stick to one's minhag. I do feel it's true to say though that if a woman knows that she's done it for 30 years, she's tried, and she's always failed to put it through, it's probably true to say that based on the Mishnah Berurah, it might be a good idea not to, I don't know what you think, it might not be a good idea, it might be not such a good idea to do it. Because the Mishnah Berurah takes on that if you don't do all the nights, then you're not actually fulfilling the mitzvah. So, in retrospect, all the days that you counted, well, you didn't actually do the mitzvah. So it's better. Mishmo is probably a chiddush, but it says that if, you, as he says over here, that im, that if you know, if a woman is likely to forget, is, knows she's going to forget, she shouldn't. She probably shouldn't start with saying with the bracha. Now that's with regards to, pardon. Yeah, so the Mishmur over here seems to be taking on a chumrah that it's actually also one long chiyuv. That's what he seems to be taking on over here. Good point. Only the chumrah, al kuponim.
A man that will forget, we wouldn't say that.
Very good question. That's a good question. So Shlomo Zalman has asked, very, very good question. Shlomo Zalman has asked that question. What happens to a person who knows he will miss a day? For instance, not somebody who's going to forget, no, because he mustn't forget, but a person who knows he has a surgery. And he knows that surgery, that day he will be knocked out completely, and he knows that under normal circumstances, he will miss one sphira. He just is inevitable. He's going to miss. So should he start counting with a bracha, or perhaps, he should not start counting with the bracha because he knows he's going to miss one day. What's the halacha? What would you say?
He should.
He should count with the bracha, although he knows he's going to miss one.
Yeah, because he's fulfilling the mitzvahs with a separate mitzvah.
Every night he's fulfilling some.
So if separate mitzvahs, surely he should.
Yep, Gideon, what do you say? Should? So we agree with that?
What's the question? Sorry, what's the question?
The question is, based on the Mishnah Berurah says a woman should not count the Omer, categorically he says, because she's likely to forget. And if she forgets, she can't, therefore she shouldn't even start counting with the bracha. So says the Mishnah Berurah. Based on that, the Shlomo Zalman was asked the question, what is the halacha with regards to a man who knows he will miss one day's counting? For instance, he's got a surgery, he's going to hospital for 2 days, and he knows he will not count one day. Should he start counting Pesach? Should he start counting with a bracha? Or knowing that he will miss one day, and he will not be able to complete till Shavuos, is it better, therefore, to not even start counting with a bracha?
No, he should start with a bracha, because that's one, as I said before, one individual mitzvah in the way. So if he forgets, he can still continue.
He should still continue. Yeah? What is the... Kagans, what do you say?
He has an ikachiv. The lady doesn't have an ikachiv.
Right. Very good point. That's what Shlomo Zalman says that. So Shlomo Zalman, Alicha Shlomo, makes that point. Yes, Shlomo Zalman makes that point. He says that with a man, certainly, even if he knows he's going to miss out, he should certainly count with the bracha from the beginning. So says Shlomo Zalman. Right, there's much more to be discussed. We'll leave that for tomorrow night, Be'ezer Hashem. So, to summarize what we learned this evening, we learned that there's a mitzvah to count. We discussed this machloikas as to whether it's the Raisa or the Rabbonon. Majority opinion, it's the Rabbonon. Minority opinion, it's the Raisa. However, the Bialocha says the minhag that we count by Nacht is based on the fact that we hold that it's the Raisa. We then discussed also there's a mitzvah to count le'atzmoy. Kol echol ispa le'atzmoy. What does that mean? A person should count for himself. Two understandings. The first understanding is that it's coming, well, Sfatim Lochem, you should count yourself, because you would have thought that he also, Shema Ka'oni, would work, like we find by Kiddush and Avdolah, that a person can be moed to somebody else. But here Sfatim Lochem is teaching us that no, you have to count physically yourself. This, however, is only referring to the actual counting, which is the mitzvah, not to the bracha. It means the bracha for sure you can be moitzi somebody else. It's the actual counting. You cannot be moitzi somebody else according to this first pshat. Second pshat is not on nothing to do with it. He's actually coming to exclude Sfatim Lochem, because you would have thought perhaps the bezdin can be moitzi you. The bezdin counts, like we find by Shmita, Vyovles, and other areas, other mitzvahs, that the bezdin can be moitzi the whole Klal Yisrael. Here it's different. You would have thought perhaps that also over here just the base thing can be moitzi the entire klal. No, kamash malon, that it's fatim lachem, everybody has got a mitzvah on himself. However, how you perform this mitzvah is individual for everybody. Right. We also discussed the topic of women. The principal concept, of course, is that it's time bound and ladies are exempt. However, we learned the Mogen Avraham says women are makbid on it and they've taken the stringency upon themselves. Chofetz Chaim says it's not our minhag in Aden, they tend to forget. And we've discussed this is minhagim, there are plenty of women who have got the minhag to account and they should continue doing so. Right, there's more to be discussed, but we will continue tomorrow. I wish you a very good evening, gentlemen, a very good evening.